Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cinema Theology. I am one of your co-hosts, Hadid Cortez, and I am joined by...
Josias Flores. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We're excited to have you back, even though we can't see you. But we appreciate you listening in. So yeah, we're in Cinema Theology. This is where the place where movies and theology meet, the crux of that. And of course, it's not the only space, but it's one of the spaces, and we love to talk about movies with you. Today we have a fun movie. And Dido, can you tell us more about this movie that we decided to do? I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. I'm going to tell you, let Dido tell you, although you've probably seen the title of this episode, but nevertheless, there's a fun story behind why we chose this movie, and I want Dido to share that with us.
Yeah, so usually after we finish recording these episodes, Josias and I usually stay a while talking about what we're going to do next. And after we recorded The Eyes of Tammy Faye last time, we were brainstorming about which movie we might tackle next. And you had a movie in mind that you knew you wanted to do, but you couldn't remember the name of the movie or who was in it. And after trying to guess which movie it was, we kind of decided to do another movie. And as we were about to sign off, I told them, hey, my family just watched Free Guy the other day, and I thought that this might be an interesting one to do sometime. And you were like, dude, that's the movie that I was thinking about. So that after that, we kind of decided we were going to do Free Guy instead. And that's how we landed here.
Yeah, it was funny. And I think, it was just, I guess, meant to be. So here we go with Free Guy. And, you know, we don't usually do these type of movies. We've covered a lot of genres. We've covered, yes, we have covered sci-fi before, and we've covered some comedies. But I'm going to usually go to something like Free Guy, maybe more like an adventure movie. Honestly, when I first found out about this movie and first watched it, I thought it was going to be kind of just a fun cash grab movie that would be kind of forgettable after a first watch. And then I remember watching it, and I remember thinking there's more depth to this and more thought put into this movie than just a usual, you know, just kind of a quick, fun adventure movie. And I got to say, after a second and third rewatch, it still holds up. And there's still things that I'm like, wow, interesting themes, interesting thoughts. Dido, you were saying earlier when we were talking that you definitely thought there was overlap with other movies and influence of other movies in Free Guy. Can you tell me more of other movies that you may have seen have influenced this movie?
Yeah, so I see a lot of, for example, The Matrix in this movie, where you see this normal guy suddenly finds out that he's like in a simulation. And he becomes like the most important person in this virtual world, and he finds a way to manipulate it and all this stuff. So that's really interesting. This is actually very similar to one of my favorite animated movies, which is the Lego Movie, which kind of has the same type of plot. But I think one of the movies that this most reminded me of was Jim Carrey's The Truman Show, where this character thinks he's living a perfectly normal life. And at a point, he finds out that it is all a virtual reality. It's a fake reality where there is an actual world out there, and he is trying to find that world. So I definitely see a lot of that in this movie. And props to the writers and the directors for making this such an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I agree, and I agree with the Truman Show too. I mean, that scene where he goes to Hitman's Beach and like just tries to like get out of the beach is just like classic Truman Show, when he goes to the end of the water and tries to find his way out. I agree. Props to Ryan Reynolds and the team, the writers and the director. They created something that definitely gives you something to think about, some food for thought, and obviously because we're here talking about it. So let's give you a quick synopsis if you don't know what the movie's about. Spoilers. But let's talk a little bit about what the movie's about. We'll do a synopsis, and then we can dive into some of the themes that we saw and that we thought were more interesting from a theological perspective. So the movie follows a guy, that's his name, a character named Guy. And Guy is a bank teller who finds out through a series of events that he is actually a background player or an NPC, non-playable character, in a very popular video game franchise called Free City. He decides that he's going to break out of the routine and the script that he has to follow, and that he's going to rewrite his story. And as he finds that, he's rewriting his story to try to, you know, chase after a girl, an actual player that he's interested in. He finds out through his interactions with her that his world is going to come to an end, that he's not the same as her, right? And ultimately, he decides that he's going to help save his world and follow his life, right? Because he ultimately becomes and finds out that he's artificial life, artificial intelligence. So that's kind of what the movie is about. It's a fun journey along the way, lots of good jokes. But be aware, there's some language, some strong language in the movie as well, if you haven't seen it. And
there's a lot of double entendres as well.
Double entendres, yeah, exactly. But just heads up, if you haven't seen it, what you might be getting into watching this movie. Now, Dilo, what are some of the big themes or something that stood out to you about this movie and what it's trying to convey, the messages that are trying to convey or just convey, even if they're not trying to do so?
So one of the main themes that I picked up on as I was watching the movie was the theme of freedom. And go figure, the movie is called Free Guy. Why would it not be about freedom? But I found it interesting that I think this movie has two different versions of what freedom looks like. One from the perspective of the players and one from the perspective of the NPCs. For the players, freedom in Free City probably means that they have the freedom to do whatever they're not allowed to do in the real world. So they log on to this game, and through their avatar, they vicariously live a version of their life that they don't have access to on Earth. So even though, you know, these kids, the people playing this game are not bank robbers, even though they're not... they don't own a lot of guns and go around shooting people in the streets of the city. They can do that in the game, and that provides a version of freedom for them, which is freedom to do whatever you want. Now, for the NPCs, freedom might be a little bit different, because for them, it's not the ability to do whatever you want, but it's breaking away from the oppressive and deterministic behavioral patterns that they have been stuck in their entire lives. We see this first in the example of Guy, who one day decides that he wants to have another order of coffee, and that just breaks the status quo. And you see kind of like the other NPCs get very nervous, they get very suspicious around him all of a sudden. But we see this later because he inspires the other NPCs to kind of go against their programming again and against their determined behavioral patterns to assert their own individuality. Now, the biggest difference is in how the players use their freedom and the NPCs use their freedom. The way that the players use their freedom is being self-indulgent, by doing what they are not allowed to do in the real world. But the NPCs, and the way that they use their freedom, is to actually rebel and not be conformed to the system of violence that they see around them, but actually rebel against that. So we see two different uses of freedom and self-determination in this movie. One by the players, where they use it mainly for self-indulgence, and the NPCs who actually use their freedom with a certain sense of responsibility and camaraderie with their peers. And this kind of reminds me of something that Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. I'm not going to read here. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So I think Free Guy, the film, really advocates for this, using freedom with a certain sense of responsibility towards yourself and towards others as well. Of course, this in the movie, it doesn't come from a religious angle. It's much more from a very much more humanistic angle. But I still think that's a very positive message that we can take away from this film.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I'm so glad you brought that out, because it's definitely a strong message in the movie. This idea that, I think, because Guy has a unique perspective, right? Because he has been an NPC. He has been on the side of suffering in some sense in this world of Free City. He knows what it's like to be held up at gunpoint and seeing, you know, the people that he cares about, his friends, being abused by other people for their means. And so I think I love how the movie then portrays that different perspective when it comes to freedom. Like, yes, power, and the ability to do something, you know, and the ability to, just because you can take advantage of other people, that you should, and then you should make the best of it and try to just find joy in that, or if not joy, at least, you know, some kind of pleasure. That's not necessarily enough. And even if you think about, you know, us as humanity, about how do we use that freedom? And I love the verse that you mentioned. Because, you know, I thought about the movie in presenting kind of like an external view of rules and what's expected. There's a script that's in the game for NPCs, things that they have to say, right? You know, you have scenes in the movie where players, actual players, are walking down the street and they're quoting the exact same thing that the NPC is going to say, because they know what the game script is, what the externally bound code and expectation is. And that's one level of constraint that Guy finds freedom from. But then there's another level where he imposes on himself a certain kind of restriction, responsibility, as you have said, in order to live a better way, in order to find a better way of playing the game, so to speak. And I love how that kind of parallels the narrative of Jesus, who 100% God and 100% man, had the power to do incredible miracles. We see that in the Gospels. God himself, he could have easily overthrown the Romans, which is what they was expected of him by his peers. And he could have used violence. He could have used just sheer power to overcome what seemed to be evil, but instead of doing that, he uses servanthood and he decides to help out fellow man. And he says that's the way to truly find life, and that's the way to be a citizen of the kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. And so I love how in the movie, and as you said before, it's not that, you know, the writers of the movie are copying the Bible, right? I think there's universal themes in humanity that they kind of speak to, that the Bible also speaks to. But in this very same way, Guy kind of speaks to that, like, idea of you change the world not by using power and by getting more money and becoming more, stronger than everyone else, but by choosing to serve other people in light of the suffering and the abuse that is taking place. Instead of using others for your own selfish gain, you're going to help others at your expense sometimes in order to make the world a better place for everyone. And I love that idea of freedom. And I do think as Christians, we're called to be free in that way. So it's not about how much money I can make. It's not about, you know, having the best things or being the most recognized person out there. Even if no one sees me, even if, you know, I never become popular or rich, I still help the people around me. And that's how I use my freedom. I don't know. I think that's Jesus' model. And I find that amazing. And the movie speaks to that in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. And if I may take it a little bit further, I think Guy becomes a Christ-like figure in the film because he goes through a type of death and resurrection. Because Antoine, the owner of the game company, becomes angry because Guy does not conform and he's challenging the rules and the way that he intended for the game to be played. So he, at a certain scene, he destroys his coding. He kind of like resets Guy, but then Guy is able to gain his memories back through the power of love, as you know, as fairy tales do. And he is able to then lead a revolution of the NPCs and lead them into a better version of the game. And I think that's something we forgot to talk about, the fact that there is a second story being told. The first story is, of course, Guy's personal journey in discovering himself and discovering the world around him and ultimately challenging the rules of his world. But then there's the second story of Keys and Millie, who are the original creators of the game. They created a game called Life Itself, which was just made to watch artificial intelligences learn and adapt to new surroundings. And they created the first artificial life, which was Ryan Reynolds' Guy. Now, what happens is that they sell this game to Antoine, played by Taika Waititi, and Taika Waititi takes the perfect paradise that they created and converts it into Free City, which is just full of violence, killing, stealing, just general immorality. And so we can kind of see that as him taking paradise and corrupting it, and we might compare that to the way that God creates the earth, and he creates it to become a perfect paradise for human beings. And then what happens is that Satan comes in and he corrupts the earth, the creation that God has made, and fills it with sin, with violence, with suffering, all these different things. And so from this point on, God is trying to reconnect with humanity, trying to claim back what he lost to Satan. And we believe that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have a row, we have a way to be reconnected with God. And in the end, God will bring us back to that original state of perfect health, of perfect existence, and perfect communion with him. And I think we see that story kind of play out in Free Guy, this perfect paradise corrupted by an evil individual, and its creators are continually trying to get it back from him. And in the end, they prevail and they are able to have the NPCs live in this perfect island of life itself where they are able to be happy and free and do whatever they were created to do. And I'm not saying that the director, that the writers, or Ryan Reynolds were intentionally trying to mirror the biblical story in this way, but I think it speaks to the fact that narratives are recycled in our day and age. There's nothing new under the sun. And the concepts in this film have been done before. For example, fighting evil with goodness and compassion. That's something that appears in a lot of films. Even the whole conflict of good versus evil and trying to reclaim a paradise that was lost, that's certainly nothing new. And I think it just speaks to some of the biblical themes that have prevailed and are still being circulated in even secular society.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me this whole narrative and this story that's depicted. You know, trying to get back to the original build, trying to get back to the original design, which again, it's kind of the one of the main themes of scripture. Getting back to the Garden of Eden experience, where God was able to interact with humanity in face to face in a dare we say perfect way, although perfect is a loaded word. And the story of humanity is how God tries to get humanity back to that. It reminds me of the verse in Revelation 21. You know, there is this idea that at the end of the story, we do get back to that. And Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And there's this idea in verse 3, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. This idea that, like, at the end of the story of humanity, although it's not really an end because it keeps on going, but at the end of the story of this earth, which better said, we have that getting back to that original place, that original relational dynamic between God and humanity that it was intended to be, not marred by the selfishness that was brought in by an external party in the movie Antoine. In the biblical narrative, we could say, you know, Satan brings that in, and we see that in the narrative of the fall in Genesis 3, that is driven by selfishness, that is driven by profit and money. The movie makes it clear. It's a different type of motivation and a different type of ending. And I love how the movie speaks to that. And I think it does so intentionally. I mean, Buddy, that character that is the best friend for Guy in the movie, when he's describing what happened when he kind of, quote unquote, died, he's like, yeah, you know, I was on the bridge and then I was pixelated and I kind of flew into this little slice of heaven. He even uses that term, a little slice of heaven. So I do think there is a sense in which the writers of the movie kind of try to make an allusion to it, although I don't think, of course, it's the same way that I see it. But there is something to be said about that. And the view of paradise that the movie presents is very interesting because, you know, there's this another scene in the movie that you and I talked about before we started recording, where Guy is kind of down in the press because after he's done all the work being a good guy and trying to connect with Millie, this player, she tells him, hey, you're not real in the same way that I'm real, right? Like, I exist in a world outside of this and you don't. So that makes you not real. And what ends up happening is he goes to his best friend, Buddy, and he's talking to Buddy and he's like, what's the point, Buddy? We're not real. So again, the view of reality in that sense was, okay, because you're not existing outside of this, right? It's not the same. But Buddy says something to him in that moment where he says, you know, so what if we're not real? This moment that we're having is real. And my takeaway from that, and the movie doesn't explore very much, and you can kind of give your own thoughts. My takeaway from that is, in relationships, we find something that's real. Not necessarily like Rene Descartes would say that I think, therefore I am. It's not in self-awareness. I mean, Guy was self-aware, but he didn't feel like he was real. But in relationships, that's when reality happened. That's when true existence took place. And the reason that I like that is because I think that also speaks to something that the Bible speaks to, which is that relationships was the reason why humanity was created. I mean, we see that in the very beginning of the scriptures in the book of Genesis, right? When man is created and Eve is not created yet, like, God says it is not good for man to be alone. It kind of like highlights the fact that we were created to be in interactions with God and interactions with other people. And in some sense, that's what's real. So I really like that theme in the movie. Again, I don't think that's what they were going for when they did that, but it definitely reminded me of a biblical theme. What did you think about that and kind of the exploration of reality that the movie does and what it means to be I guess, independent, real being?
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. Last time I saw the film, I thought this, what Buddy said here, was something very profound, and I was interested to see where the movie would go with this concept. And I don't think the movie really went that far with this concept, but it was still very profound. And I think I can relate this to my experience, to my life experience, in the fact that reality is not always palpable, but sometimes reality is experiential. And what I mean by this is that sometimes I find myself kind of questioning whether the reality that I believe exists actually exists. For example, the existence of God. I don't have any physical proof that I can show anyone in undoubtedly say this is evidence of God. Reality can always be interpreted another way than what we perceive it to be. So what I use as an anchor for my faith and my beliefs is not material evidence, but it is my experience with God. So whenever I start to doubt, or question, does God really exist? I don't think back to the physical evidence that I think I may have, but I always go back to my personal experience with Christ. And I can look back on these experiences and confirm for myself that this is real. My experience is real. And no matter what anybody else says, nobody can take that experience away from me.
I love that. And you know, that whole thing reminds me also of a quote by St. Augustine. And I'll read a translation of Augustine of Hippo. Well, St. Augustine for the Catholics, right? But Augustine of Hippo in his book Confessions. And his translation is a little bit older, so bear with the language. But it goes, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Right? Like, this is idea that's in the movie and that Augustine speaks to, that there's a sort of existential restlessness until we find that which we were created for. And for Guy, in Guy's case, he was created to seek after, you know, Millie, who Keyes was in love with. And he was never really meant to find her, but he did find her, and he found his purpose, and that kind of like sparked something in him. And I think for humanity in a broader sense, now again, away from the movie, is really finding that relationship with others and with God. And I think our hearts really are restless in some sense until we find that. And you know, a lot of people, this is under the broad umbrella of spirituality, are looking for this. It may not be Christianity, it may not even be religion, but they're looking for a way to connect beyond the physical into some kind of relational, some kind of meaning, something that goes deeper than the material. I thought the movie, again, spoke to that in some ways. And I appreciate thinking about that as a Christian and how it made me reflect on my own beliefs of what is my purpose and what does it mean to be fulfilled in life. And I do think it is in that connection.
Yeah. As you were speaking, I was reminded of this verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11, where Solomon writes, "God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." And I think this is very relevant to what we're talking about here, because if we believe that God has put eternity into our hearts, then we have a yearning for that. And like you said, God, we look for things beyond the physical, beyond what is palpable, to give some meaning in our lives. And it is that desire for connection. And I think this is also part of what it means to be created in God's image, because just like God is not a solitary God, but he seeks connection. He is a God of love and he wants to share that love. So too does every human being require at a fundamental level some connection with others. And I think that is very beautiful. And I think this concept is exemplified a little bit in Free Guy, because Keyes creates Guy to be kind of like a mirror of him. He programs Guy to appreciate and love all the things that he loves about Millie. So when Guy sees Millie in the game, he is instantly attracted to her, just like his creator. So I think that's another interesting concept that we can gain, or we get to see in the movie.
I like that. I do think that there's a sense in which we carry God's, you know, God's nature in some level, and I don't want to sound this in a new age kind of way, but the Bible is clear. We do have the image of God, and I think it's a beautiful thing, because I was trying to find a verse that speaks to this idea. And in 2 Corinthians 3 kind of kind of speaks to that 3-2 and 3, and I'll tell you how that connects in my mind to the movie. But 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." The reason why I'm bringing up this verse is because there is a part in the movie at the very end where Millie is talking to Guy in life itself, in this new paradise. And he is telling her, he says, "Listen, I love you. I was created to love you, but I'm just a love letter to you. Out there's a real person who feels this way about you." And I love this idea that us being created in God's image, we also are, in a sense, a letter to the world of what God is like. And I think about what a shame it would be if we, instead of using that which God has created us with, that freedom to choose that God has created us with, in order to use that to show other people that love letter, if we use it for our own selfish purposes and keep the world from seeing another aspect of what God is like, that would be a big shame. And the world would miss out on something that it can never get back, right? And so I love how the movie speaks to that. Guy is just code, but the code says something about its creator that is very meaningful to those who see it. And in some sense, us, we may just be flesh and bone, but being created in God's image also means that we have something that speaks to those around us about who God is. And I definitely don't want to be the one who keeps the world from seeing that. So, I love this idea that the movie brings out of being in the image of the author. I think you and I are too.
Yeah, and this all comes from a goofy sci-fi Ryan Reynolds comedy.
Yeah, dude, Ryan Reynolds well, maybe not range. He kind of has the same character every movie he does, but definitely does some interesting things sometimes. And he bought a soccer team too and helped them get promoted. So, hey, he can't be all that
Yes.
bad.
So that is our plug-in for you to go watch Wrexham FC.
Yeah, there you go. Go Wrexham.
All right. So I think this is a good place to end. What do you think, Hosius?
I think it's great. I think it's good.
All right. All right. So thank you to all of our listeners for bearing with us for the last 30 minutes or so. I think I really enjoyed doing this episode, and I think Hosius as well. Now, Hosias, before I wrap up, if you could summarize the main points, the main philosophical or religious points that we have talked about in this episode, how would you summarize today's conversation?
Yes, I would say, and then no particular order, talked about the image of God and what it means to be made in the image of God, what it means to be free moral agents in the world, and then also this narrative found throughout the Bible of the clash between good and evil, between God and Satan, and finally, what it means to truly influence the world as a part of God's kingdom. That's just like, again, from the theological perspectives, but that came out of things I saw in the movie. What about you? Anything else?
Well, I think you covered it all pretty much. What it means to be free, what it means to be made in the image of God, and kind of like the overarching story similarities between scripture and this movie. So, with that, we are going to log off. So, I encourage you all to please follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, or I guess it's X now, and also on Instagram. If you have Instagram, you can also follow us there.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a review or message us if you know us. Let us know what you thought about our analysis. And also, if you think there's a great movie that you would love to hear us talk about, we have taken suggestions before and have talked about those movies. So feel free to reach out to us through social media or personally. And we'd love to continue the conversation off of the podcast with you, and maybe even transition it to the podcast in a future episode. Thank you, guys.
All right, everybody. Don't have a good day. Have a great day.
Have a great day.